Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 53. And in the book of Isaiah, we see a dramatic contrast from the beginning of the book, some of the first few chapters, chapter 9, for instance, where we see Jesus spoken of in prophecy, and he's talked about being Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Emmanuel, God with us. But here, as we read in Isaiah chapter 53, we see something quite different concerning him. It says, starting in verse 1, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. It says, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him." What a difference that we see here between those first things that we see and what we see here in chapter 53. So as we read this and we go on reading here, it says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." So as we read this and we see what the word says about Jesus, that's who this is talking about. It's talking about Jesus here. That he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. So as we read this, it's like, so what made the difference? What brought about the sufferings of Jesus? And we see that in verse 6. He says, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death, was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sins of many, and interceded for the transgressors." Praise the Lord. What made the difference? We see in verse 6 that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all turned our own way. And the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 5. Hold your place there in Isaiah. We'll be coming back to it. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Amplified Version reads, "But God shows and clearly proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us." Hallelujah. Say this after me. He did it all.
He did it all.
For me.
For me.
He did it all.
He did it all.
For me.
For me.
He didn't do it for somebody else. He didn't do it for somebody you don't know. He did it for you. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's the title of my sermon today. He did it all for me. We're going to be taking communion today after we get done with the message. But I like to preach about what is the significance of communion.
That's good.
Amen. We don't take communion all the time here. There's nothing wrong. If you want to do that, that's fine. But I believe that it should be something that's marked out. It shouldn't just become a habit. It shouldn't just become just a routine. Why? Because it's something significant. When we take communion, we're calling to remembrance what Jesus did for us. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The New International Version says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The change we see in the description is because of what Christ done for us. Because it's simple. We strayed. We turned from the Lord. We are all the ones that were guilty. We were the ones who had sinned. And yet, He who knew no sin bore the guilt. He bore the shame. He bore the punishment for our sins for us. Amen? As we look at Isaiah chapter 53, The writer here, through the Holy Spirit, stresses the vicarious nature of Jesus' suffering. 12 times he talks about it here in these 9 verses. The word vicarious is defined by Webster's Dictionary as performed or suffered by one person as a substitute for another, or to the benefit or advantage of another. What Jesus did for you, He did it for your benefit. He did it for your advantage. Amen? Vicarious suffering is simply suffering so someone else will not have to suffer. Glory to God. Amen? Jesus suffered. Jesus went through everything that He went through, the beating that He took, the death that He suffered on the cross. He did it so you wouldn't have to. The separation that He experienced from His Father, He did that so that you wouldn't have to experience eternal separation from your Father. That's shouting news right there. Amen. You can even get up and do a happy jig about that, because that's good stuff. Amen? Jesus, and He did it. He didn't do it for somebody else. You need to personalize this sermon today. When we talk about this, you need to say to yourself, "He did it for me." Amen? As we read this passage of Scripture, There are seven different ways that the prophet Isaiah points out where Jesus suffered vicariously for us. Look at verse 4 there in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 says, "Surely our griefs himself bore, and our sorrows he carried." Hallelujah. Now, the word "born" there means literally to lift up, to bear, to carry, to take away. Amen? "Surely our griefs he himself bore." Jesus took away, carried away. Some translations say he took our infirmities. Amen? The word "infirmities" is the Greek word "chole," K-H-O-L-E. It means a malady, means anxiety, calamity, grief, disease, sickness, to be weak, sick, or afflicted. It's used 67 times in the Old Testament. 57 of them, it's translated as infirmities or sicknesses. Jesus took our infirmities. He bore our weaknesses. He bore whatever area that you're weak in. Jesus took it to the cross and he nailed it to the cross.
Hallelujah.
He took your disease. He took your anxiety. He took it and he nailed it to the cross. He did it for you. Amen? He carried it there. The Young's literal translation says, "Surely our sicknesses he hath borne." The Amplified says, "Surely he has borne our griefs, sickness, weakness, and distress." The Word of God points out here by using this language that Jesus carried our infirmities on the cross as if they were his. Our pains as if they were his pains, and our sicknesses as if they were his sicknesses. Amen? Glory to God. "Surely our griefs he has borne, our sorrows he carried." The word "sorrows" is the word in the Hebrew "makab." It means pain, physical sorrow, pain, or mental pain. Amen? The word "carry" is the word "kabal." And it means that he bore our sorrows along. It's like he's dragging them. That's the picture that it wants to paint to you, that he drug. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, it says, "And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to show grief and distress of mind and was deeply depressed." That's what the Amplified Version says. The Message paraphrase says, "Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he plunged into an agonizing sorrow." See, it wasn't just about what Jesus was going to face at the cross. He knew that the sins of the world, all the sorrows, all the griefs, all the pains, all the mental anguish, everything that everyone who had ever lived and everyone who was alive and everyone who was ever going to live, all that was being poured out upon Jesus. And he carried it to the cross with him. Amen. Say, "He did it all for me."
He did it all for me.
Amen? He did it all for me. Glory to God. Everything that he entered into, every pain, every sorrow, every grief, every day, every depression that we might face someday, he took it. Amen? But look what it says at the end of verse 4. It says, yet we ourselves have seen him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. See, those who delivered Jesus up to death felt that Jesus had been literally been stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God himself. They truly believed that he was a sinner, that he was a blasphemer. The philosophy of the Jews at that time was that when one suffered, it was due to some personal sin in his life. Or perhaps in the life of a loved one. There's still people today who preach the same thing. Amen? Something's going on, you must have sin in your life. You ever heard? You ever had anybody tell you that? I have. Amen? Must have sin in your life. Well, that's the good news. I know that. You don't have to tell me that. I need a way out. Amen? They looked at Jesus and declared that divine intervention has taken place. They looked at the affliction was an act of punishment from the Lord. Because they had never seen anyone suffer as he was suffering. There, as Brother Jim's been talking about downstairs, we talked about this morning. I mean, Heidi even brought it up this morning. They'd seen crucifixions before, but they'd never seen one like this. They'd never seen anybody die like this. They'd never seen what happened. Why? Because all the sins of the world, all the sicknesses, all the diseases, all the cares, all the depression, all the anxiety, everything was being poured out, and Jesus carried it to the cross with him. I mean, just think about in your own life when you're mourning with somebody or you're trying to help somebody and you kind of take that upon yourself, just think what it does to you. Amen? And your empathy and you can get depressed and you can get down with them and you just feel, you know, sick at your stomach, whatever it may be. Just think about if you had all that from everybody that had ever lived poured out upon you. It's a wonder he even made it to the cross. Amen? Psalm 22. Hold your place in Isaiah. We'll be back there. Psalm 22, verse 14. The New Living Translation reads, Psalm 22, verse 14, 17. New Living Translation reads, my life is poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength has dried up like a sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count every bone in my body. My enemies stare at me and gloat. Turn back to Isaiah 53. And then look at Isaiah chapter 52, 14. It says, just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. His visage was marred. He was beaten so bad, he was so bloody, everything about him, that the agony that was on him, people didn't even know who he was. On the cross, Jesus bore in his body every kind of sickness and every mental anguish. That's what the word says. Amen? He knew the pain of cancer. He knew the pain of a sore throat. He knew the pain of pneumonia, what it felt like to have the flu, what it felt like to have broken bones. Jesus experienced what it was like to have leprosy and heart disease and lung disease. He experienced every kind of disease and every kind of sickness that has been discovered, and is yet to be discovered and given a name. Even COVID.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. COVID-19, if there's a COVID-20, a COVID-21, whatever it may be. Amen.
Yep.
The name of Jesus is above every name. He took every disease and every sickness and he carried it to the cross and he nailed it to the cross.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As a result of Jesus bearing all that and looking like he did, the Jews thought he was being punished by God. Yet it was all God's plan. Amen. Jesus endured everything for you and for me. When you get sick, when you get distressed, when you get depressed, when you get sorrowful, even when you feel hopeless, never question whether or not Jesus knows what you're going through, because he does. Amen. He felt what you feel. He has sat where you sit. Remember, he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. In verse 5, it says, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. Hallelujah. You ever noticed how easy it is to sin? We have to be taught how to talk. We have to be taught how to walk. Amen? We have to be taught how to feed ourselves. Some of us still have issues with that. By the stains on our shirts. We have to learn how to read. We have to learn how to write. We have to read how to do arithmetic. But nobody has to teach us how to sin. It comes naturally. Someone once said, we are not sinners because we sin. Rather, we sin because we are sinners. No matter how moral or religious we are, we still sin. You sin, I sin, we all sin. The Bible declares that there is none righteous, no, not one. There in verse 5, it says, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. Hallelujah. Or our sins. He was pierced by the thorns in his brow. He was pierced by the tapered iron spikes that they drove through his wrist and through his ankle, as well as the spear that was thrust into his side. It says some translation says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was pierced for our transgressions. It means, that word there means to defile, to profane, to desecrate something which is holy. Jesus, the word says, that he knew no sin. Amen. No guile was found in his mouth. He was perfect. And yet, he took all of those sins and he carried them to the cross. And the Holy One, the Anointed One, the Messiah, he was defiled and he was profaned by all of our sins. And it was symbolic when they drove those nails into his hands and into his feet. It was for us. Amen.
Amen.
It was for our transgressions. Our sin, our transgression, and our trespass. Jesus willingly took upon himself the sins of the entire world. The sin of every human being who has ever lived or whoever will live was all put on Jesus. For our sins, he was pierced. Amen. Then it goes on to say, he was crushed for our iniquities. The picture painted here by the prophet Isaiah is that of someone's life being forced out of them by a terrible weight or a terrible burden. The word crushed here is the word daka, and it means to beat to pieces, to break in pieces, to crush, to destroy. His heart was crushed beneath the load that he, the sin bearer, was bearing for us. Jesus suffered right up to the point of death. When he said, "It is finished." Up until that point, all of our sins, all the iniquities of every person was poured out upon him. Amen. Goes on to read in verse 5. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, or the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Our sins blocked the way to any hope of reconciliation with God the Father. Yet on the cross, Jesus paid the necessary price to restore fallen man to his sinless Savior. Amen. Hold your place there. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Everybody doing okay today? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. God's Word translation says, God was also pleased to bring everything on earth and in heaven back to himself through Christ. He did this by making peace through Christ's blood sacrificed on the cross. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when Jesus died on that cross, he canceled the debt that had been leveled against us. He bore in his own body the penalty for our sins. He dealt a decisive blow against Satan and all the powers of hell. He purchased salvation for a lost world. And he signed a peace treaty with fallen humanity. Amen. The great news of the gospel of Christ is that peace has been restored. The path to a relationship with God is open to everyone. And he provided us with well-being, his peace, while hanging on a cross. Hallelujah. Say, he did it all for me.
He did it all for me.
You can do better than that. Come on.
He did it all for me.
Once again.
He did it all for me.
Amen. He did it all for me. Amen. You need to get that down inside of you. When we take communion today, you need to remember these things, that he did it all for me. Amen. Not somebody else. Me. Hallelujah. That video we started out with today, you know, your called name, all that used to be you. Yeah, it used to be. That's in the past. Amen. That's all under the blood.
Yes.
You're now a child of God. You're forgiven. Amen. Your name's written down in heaven if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen. You're free.
Amen.
Glory to God. Back to Isaiah. And by, at the end of verse 5, it says, and by his scourging we are healed. Hallelujah. Besides being cruelly beaten by hand and fist and slapped repeatedly with a reed, Jesus was also whipped unmercifully in Pilate's court. I mean, if you've seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, how can you ever forget that? This beating was accomplished by tying the victim to a post, stripping him naked and striking him with that whip. The whip was divided into several single or braided leather strips of different lengths. And they had small iron balls and sharp pieces of sheep bone tied at different intervals. With every lash that they did, It would tear pieces of flesh out of the victim's body. The purpose of the scourging was to bring the victim to a point just short of collapse or death. Amen. 39 times was the limit. Because most people died before then or couldn't take any more than that. But just time and again, why? He did it for you and he did it for me. Amen? It was just after this that Jesus had to carry his cross through the wooded crowds of Jerusalem to meet Calvary. Amen? He bore the weight on a back and shoulder that was a bloody, lacerated mess. Amen? I was doing some work the other day, and I got a bunch of splinters, and I didn't even notice it until yesterday, and I had all these splinters in my hand, and I put my hand on them, and I was like, ow, what is that? And I looked, and I'm like, wow. Just think about putting a cross, a wooden cross, on an open wound like that, and carrying it, dragging it, dragging all the sins, dragging all the sorrows, dragging everything that was poured out upon him, dragging it. Amen. You say, well, why did he do that? Because he loved you and he did it for you. Amen. Look at 1 Peter 2:24. Hold your place here. First Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says here in Isaiah 53:5, it says, by his scourging we are healed. That's the word Rapha. He is Jehovah Rapha. We find in Exodus 15. It is healing. To be healthful, to cure. The Message paraphrase of 1 Peter 2:24 says, his wounds became your healing. The New King James Version says, by whose stripes you were healed. The New Living Translation says, you have been healed by his wounds. The New Contemporary Version says, and you are healed because of his wounds. God's Word Translation says, his wounds have healed you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. By his stripes you are what?
Healed.
Healed. Amen. Well, that's just talking about spiritual healing, brother. Thank you. You don't need healed spiritually. You need resurrected, because the Word of God says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Amen? You need a miracle. You don't just need healed. Amen? Healing's found throughout the Gospels. Healing's found in the book of Acts. People were healed. Amen? People are being healed all over the world today. Amen? Why? Because they believe it. Some places, they don't have an emergency room within 10 minutes like most of us live here in the United States do. Well, let me see, which hospital am I going to go to? I don't really like that hospital. I'm going to go to that hospital. I mean, let's be serious. Amen? We've got multiple emergency rooms, urgent care, doctor's offices everywhere. We can go to them like that. Some places, you don't have a doctor's office. You don't have a hospital. Amen? We got good friends that live in Florida, Greg and Alicia. Our brother Greg, he was on a missionary trip down in South America. Him and two other guys that we know. There was, I think there was five of them. I can't remember. But they were very careful about what they drank, very careful about what they eat. But the thing was that for some reason they ended up getting sick. And they had these tapeworms or whatever it is, these things in their intestines, and they were sick. So they walked through this jungle to get to this town. There was no doctors there. The only thing you find down there is witch doctors. No doctors there. They're praying the whole time, Lord, just give us the strength to get there. They get there. They find that some place there has a satellite phone. They knew that there was a satellite phone there. So they use a satellite phone to call Alicia, who was in Florida. Well, Alicia gets on the phone and calls these people that go rescue missionaries. That's their job. They'll go in and they'll fly in and get people and take them out. Well, they jumped in the plane, flew down to South America, picked them up, had some medicine with them, gave them some medicine to begin with, got them back. And Greg, he didn't know if they were going to make it or not. They was that sick. Well, it took months. And those worms actually came out through their skin. Just nasty. But what I'm saying is, you better believe that when you're talking about healing, that people grab a hold of it because they don't have all the medical things that we have. Amen? Jesus, we were healed by His stripes. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Verse 6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. Amen? Hallelujah. On us to fall on him. He took all of our sins. Verse 8, down at the end of the verse, it says, for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. Amen. In verse 5, we saw that he was wounded or pierced for our transgressions. Here he is stricken because of them. There's a difference. The first spoke of pain or suffering. This one speaks of facing death itself. The word used here means to cut down, to cut off, to cut into, to destroy, to exterminate. So Jesus was cut off out of the land of the living. There, I didn't quite read up far enough, that he was cut out of the land of the living. Jesus faced death on the cross. He faced that separation, and he defeated it. So we don't have to be afraid of death anymore. We don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. Amen. Jesus endured each and every pain that was ours to suffer in each and every area that we suffer. He didn't miss anything. He was tempted or tested in every area as we are, so to provide us victory in every area of our lives. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus was unlike any other death that has ever been. It was not an incident nor some accident in the course of his being. Jesus' death, his sacrifice on the cross, his suffering, everything that he did was for a reason, and it was his very reason for living. It was his purpose for coming to the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. The Living Bible, Isaiah 53:8, the Living Bible reads like this: from prison to trial they led him away to his death. But who among the people of that day realized it was their sins that he was dying for, that he was suffering their punishment? Amen. That's the point this morning. It's not what the people did to him that matters. It's rather what Jesus did for us. Jesus Christ did not die a victim. He died as your Savior. He didn't die by brute power, but by the eternal love of God. He didn't go kicking and screaming and fighting. He freely gave his life for us. Amen. John 10, and we'll close with this. John 10:17 declares, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again." Jesus deliberately chose to endure the cross, the spikes, and the excruciating pain to pay a price that we could not pay. He could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him, but he didn't. He could have called down giant hailstones to crush his adversaries, but he didn't. He could have even called fire down from heaven and consumed those that day, but he didn't. What did he do? He chose to pray that they might be forgiven. Amen. Everything that Jesus did on the cross for us, everything that Jesus did in his life, say, he did it for me.
He did it for me.
Amen. He did it for me. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As the worship team comes,